Blog Good evening, Talk ladies Radio. And gentlemen. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, David Murphy, with the National Black Unity News. And first and foremost, I want to welcome everybody on the call. I know we're about to get started, and this is about the second time that we are using this Zoom format. And yours truly is having some technical difficulties because I was trying to go live as well on Facebook, and I just finished watching the video teaching me how. But I was looking for three little dots, and so that's enough information on that. But in any case, we had a guest coming on this evening from Florida, but he had called me early, and hopefully they settled the problem, but he had called me early during the day saying that they was having electrical problems, and he's getting it, but I did tell him he can call, and so hopefully he got the information. And but if he don't come on, you know, we just take it in. I'll interview each one of you guys. So I don't know. Well, y'all got a lot to say, but you know, a lot of important things to say. And and people need to hear from you. But in any case, it's been a very interesting day here in the Baltimore area. That's where we based at. But right on the call, we should have people from Florida, Virginia, and other people be chiming in. And if I could have gotten that thing like I was supposed and predicted to you, is I could find them three dots, I was supposed to go live. And maybe it might be here. That's not it. But in any case. Okay. What we need to do, if everybody who's not talking right now, can you mute yourselves? Because we can hear everything loud and clear. And thank you. And with that being said, Brother Satavia, are you available, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, so before we get started, as usual, with the National Black Unity News Podcast, our brother and co-host, Mr. Satavi Jaheed, shares information with you from a reading. And then we also have my brother, other co-host, Mr. Andre Hector, who has gone in and out, and hopefully he'll be back on. But Brother Satavi, as always, welcome to the call. And, you know, we greatly appreciate you. I appreciate you, sir, and for the work that you've done yesterday, today, and hopefully tomorrow. And,
all right.
And you're always sharing words of wisdom, so glad you have the floor, sir. Share.
All right. Thank you, David. And again, I appreciate you, and I appreciate everybody on this call, especially the Miss Illustrious Fran Allen, and then also Miss Kathleen Murphy, Walter Dempsey Murphy. You know, I appreciate all of y'all. It's, you know, each day we move closer to I don't like to use the word, but closer to our death, because it's Les Brown said, so you can't get out of life alive. So whatever we're doing, let's make sure that it's magnificent and beautiful. All right, the reading for the day from Daily Motivations for African American Success by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, who's also the author of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. August 11th, the eyes have it. In search of my mother's garden, I found my own. Alice Walker, Pulitzer Prize winning author. Reading for the day. The lady was small, old, and frail. She had just lost the sight of her eye and had to have it removed. When she learned it had to be replaced with a false eye, she said to the doctor, "Be sure to choose one that has a twinkle in it." How wonderful it is to know that we can be transformed, healed, and revitalized in the twinkling of an eye. Miracles become apparent when we open our eyes in a new dimension of life. The next time you feel weak, tired, lifeless, or down and in the dumps, affirm for yourself, "I am radiant with life and vitality." Even as you speak, know that you have a life that is larger and deeper than the one you are experiencing. Speak these words repeatedly and joyfully. Then give them true meaning by acting as if you really believe them to be true now. In so doing, you will open the floodgates, allowing more of life to pour in. My eyes are the windows of my soul. I see only perfect pictures. And it's so important that, you know, that we look at life that way. It's so important that we look at life that way and see.
Click on the thing, the link. I say, click on the link. This, you know, it exudes a lot of words to it. Just click on that.
It's important that we look at life that way in terms of seeing that our eyes are the windows to our soul, and that we, you know, that whatever we see, you know, it's like I remember this reading. Person had this thing where it says that I am blessed, I am fortunate, and I am wealthy. And you have to see it in order to believe it. So don't believe what you see, but see what you believe, because with God, all things are possible. So remember that phrase. Don't believe what you see, but see what you believe, because, again, with God, all things are possible. So we want to make sure that we have a strong belief system, especially in these perilous times in terms of the way things are going and the ups and downs. I mean, if you want, there's enough that you can get depressed about that can just take you for a tailspin each and every day. But you got to make sure that you see life in a way in which, you know, that it is abundant, you know, and that we have abundant blessings. The mere fact that you're on this call tonight, that is a blessing. The mere fact that you got life in your body, that is a blessing. And we need to make sure that we count our blessings and that we're thankful for them. And with that said, Dave, that's my introduction to tonight's call, and I'll turn it back over to you, sir.
All right, thank you. Man, what a powerful choice of words that you've chosen. Because sometimes, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we take things for granted. And like I said, I live in the Baltimore area. And around 9:30 or something around that time in the morning, you know, the news flash came on. Three houses blew up, I think, because of a gas problem. And I watched it intently for hours. And they had every type of agency there, ATF, everybody there. You know, people was caught in the rubble. And one person died, as far as I can remember. I don't know if anybody else has passed. But it gave me the thought what Brother Satavi was speaking about, blessings. Because, you know, this has been, well, you know, what I would say, somewhat of a trying week for me because of my computer system and a couple of other outside sources that all came down at the same time. You know, the Bible speaks about harvest time. But they also speak about times of lean years. And when things go rough, that's why you need to save up and put your stuff in storage and for the hard times, you know. And so, but like I say, sometimes we take things for granted. And as I watched the video, I mean, this thing was like a bomb hit those three houses. And then it hits me because it does it pretty. God has a way of waking me up. And here I was concerned about a computer, about little other two things. But one person just lost their life, and they didn't do anything. This was something outside their control. But that house blew up, and everything is gone, is lost. And I'm running around and concerned about a few little things. You see, sometimes we need to look at the glass half full or half empty, but most of the time, you know, we need to count our blessings because, I, you know, that no matter how bad our personal situation may be, I can guarantee you that somebody's going through much worse. And so, you know, yeah, you know, you need to be concerned about your well-being, about you and yours and everything else. But don't take things so seriously sometimes or take it for granted sometimes that you miss the whole picture. And see, all I could do all day long was, man, just walk around the house. And all I could say is, look, thank you. And the house is not in perfect condition. I'm not in perfect condition, but I'm still here. The house is still here. And I guarantee those people woke up same way we did, you know, expecting everything to be, you know, like a normal day. And now, God, in the blinking of an eye. And I also just noticed that our guest speaker is arrived, because he is a man of his word. And I'm glad to see you up and running, brother. but I'll get to you in a minute, sir. And but somebody got some humming, so if you can mute yourselves, we would greatly appreciate it. And I'm gonna have to learn because let me see here.
You are muted. You can mute or unmute yourself by pressing *6.
Well, in any case, I'm trying to mute everybody, but like I say, this new technology, I'll have to get accustomed to it. But there is a lot of background noise. And if it's you, he's up, there you go. Somebody, whoever there, just turned it off. Turn it off again. Because there you go. Thank you. So, Donald, that probably was you. If you got something playing or blowing in the background, you need to turn it off before we bring you on, sir, because it's going to be a lot of background noise. But in any case, I'm going to speak a little bit about my brother. Hopefully, he gets the situation straightened out. Donald Dowridge is a gentleman I met many years ago. And some, like I say, a lot of y'all need to mute yourselves again because there is a lot. I wish I could, for some reason, there we go. Okay, I found it. But in any case, when I was speaking about this gentleman, I see he just walked away. But Donald Dowridge is a gentleman who I met many years ago. He now resides in Tampa, Florida. But I think he was born and raised here in Baltimore City. And Donald's one of those gentlemen. He's a go-getter. You know, he's an author. He's an activist. He's also does this thing with Frederick Douglass. He actually looks like him, you know. And he does these things around Black History Month. But he speaks to school systems, doing the Frederick Douglass thing. And he does quite a few more. He's an activist, radio host. And like I say, he authored several books. And he also going to be one of our guests for tomorrow evening. So he's going to play dual role. I see a couple other people on here going to be our guests tomorrow evening as well. But Donald is a new editor with the National Black Unity News. And I want to welcome on board as one of our new members. And as you see, the paper is growing. We got a couple more people who are going to be in the next issue as well. So, you know, slowly but surely, we moving on up, stretching far and wide. But Donald, if you can unmute yourself, sir, I'm ready to bring you on. And let's see if I can do it from my end. Okay, there you go. And so without further ado, now I didn't give Donald no pre-designed question that I'm going to ask him. But you know, I'm going to try to jump those who want to share some information, because like I told him, I just want to talk about some current events and about some of the things that he's doing, because as I mentioned to you before, he's a new editor with the National Black Unity News. And so, Donald, I said some things about you. It's best to hear from you. Share a little information, who you are, what you do, and why you do it. I know that's a lot in one question, but I know you by your professionalism that you can keep it brief and to the point. Right to you, sir. You got it.
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you very much for this opportunity. No doubt, David and I, we do go back a long ways. Good evening to everyone that's on board today, this evening. Pleasure to see all your wonderful faces. As David said, that I am Baltimore. I live and breathe Baltimore, even though I live in Tampa, Florida. I started my company back in 1992. Officially, it went on the books in 1992 while I was working at the post office. I retired from the post office at 39 of age in 96, November 22nd, 96, my son's 18th birthday. And from there, I stepped out on faith and let God lead the rest of the way. I've been out here for 23 years hustling on this grind, motivational speaker, 14 books written. 10 years ago, I started portraying Frederick Douglass. As a matter of fact, I'm getting ready because I do have a presentation coming up next month that I'm doing on Zoom for a Black prestigious organization that was brought online by, believe it or not, Carter G. Woodson. It is a tribute to Carter G. Woodson. And I will be performing Frederick Douglass virtually here in my home. That's how we do it nowadays. That's the new normal. And besides that, I've written tons of curriculums. As a matter of fact, one of my curriculums that I wrote was bought by the mayor's office there in Baltimore. It's on how to be a mentor. When Mayor Martin O'Malley, he purchased that from me. And he also brought me up where I did tours there in Baltimore, different churches and what have you, speaking on the aspects of how to be a conducive mentor to our children, to our youth. I also, now that I mentioned youth, I also work with youth. As a matter of fact, I am a vendor with the Hillsborough County School System, which is here in Tampa, Florida. It's the Hillsborough County School System. I've been a vendor with them for the last, going on now, should I say 21 years. They are, matter of fact, I got a call from them Friday where they rolled out the red carpet, if you will, and invited me back for another, for the 21st year, which is a blessing. And just to let you know that I eat, sleep, and drink what I do, because I believe that from day one, it's a blessing from God to be able to do what I do. I think I was just chosen to do this. So it's a passion, it's a love. And again, most of my clientele are youth. And just to give you an insight to my childhood in Baltimore, I spent my first 12 years, if you will, in five separate foster homes there in Baltimore. And these foster homes that I were in were very treacherous, very harsh, very painful. And leaving the fifth foster home, which was in Catonsville, on August, believe it or not, I still remember the date, August the 15th, 1968, to go with my biological dad, where we moved to, well, he was already there, but he took me to the South Bronx, where he was very harsh with me. And that led me into gang warfare, where I became a gang member. And matter of fact, I became the vice president of the 17th Division of the Black Spades. So that took me to, I don't know if anybody ever heard of it, but that took me to a place called Rikers Island. It also took me to a place called Lincoln Hall. And on April the 26th, believe it or not, it's kind of like a funny story, and then maybe it's not, because my great-grandmother and I, we were, it was a Friday night, and we were watching, believe it or not, Sanford and Son and Chico and the Man. And we was having dinner, and dinner was, believe it or not, boiled potato and a glass of water. That was our dinner. And afterwards, my grandmother, I got up and I walked into my bedroom. I put on my gang outfit, and I proceeded to leave. And my grandmother, who was a Pentecostal, and she was there with her Bible reading, and she asked me, where was I going? And I told her, none of your business. And I said, you better just sit there and you better read that Bible and get out my business. And she said, don't talk about Jesus like that. Well, my next response at 17 years old, I said, look, next time you see that Jesus, you tell him, give me my $5 he owed me. I walked out, slammed the door, and I went to the gang hangout. 4 hours later, she got a call from the hospital asking, did she know Donald L. Dowridge Jr.? She said, yeah, that's my grandbaby. And the doctor told her that, well, we have your grandbaby in the ICU unit, and he's close to death. Well, that was a lesson. Don't play with Jesus. So shortly after that, I was moved out of New York to Tampa, Florida. And this is where I've resided ever since August the 15th, 1974, August the 15th of this year, will be 46 years here in Tampa. I did 5.5 years in the military, the U.S. Army. I got out as a sergeant, and I joined the post office here in Tampa, and I became the first black manager of a department here in at the post office. And shortly after that, the rest is history, where I retired at 39. And like I said, since then, I've been here doing motivational seminars, traveling the country. Again, 14 books, motivational cards. Matter of fact, Tavis Smiley, back in the days, believe it or not, he was on, somebody help me out. His name is slipping me, and I just saw him yesterday on TV. Not Steve Harvey, but Tom Joyner. Thank you, Miss Fran. I read your lips. Yes, Tom Joyner. So Tavis Smiley was on the Tom Joyner show one morning, and Tavis was talking about motivational cards that he was doing. And I said, wow, motivational cards. So this is just a prototype. So what I did, I came up with these motivational cards. And this one here says unusual learning. So I have unusual learning. I have 100% against tobacco, and I have a few others around him. I'm a winner, which became the name of my 13th book, The Power of Being a Winner. Then I also branched out and I came up with these wristbands, which basically determined to learn and develop, which is the name of the company. Wristbands. Then I came up with the pause wear T-shirts and caps. But also, I came up with the DLD Traveling Black History Museum. The Traveling Black History Museum is basically, right now I have it in storage, so it's on call. So meaning that companies during Black History Month, they can call in and they can, you know, order the museum. And basically what I do with the museum, I pack it up, and I travel to that location. When I get to that location, we unpack it. It takes about 45 to an hour to set it up. And it consists of, quite naturally, Frederick Douglass, also Martin Luther King, Barack Obama, the late, great Whitney Houston, the late, great Michael Jackson, the late, great Prince. There's all kind of historical literature that's in there. Now, I'm looking at each one of you all as you look at me. And just to let you all know, each one of you all, especially you, David, each one of you all are too young to remember the 33 and a third album and the 45 record. Y'all was not around when that came out. So.
Not me.
So I have some of that. And also, believe it or not, I have 8-track tapes. That's it. That's in it as well. And just to see, especially the kids, just to see the kids come through and to see their eyes, because most of the time this museum is geared towards schools. And just to see the kids and the questions that they have in reference to some of the memorabilia that I've saved. And I started, believe it or not, since Miss Fran Allen is over there giggling, believe it or not, my first article, or if you will, and I didn't even know it then, that would wind up in this museum is the emotions first cassette, which was, what was the hit song they had back then? Don't Ask My Neighbor. That was one of the songs on the cassette. And believe it or not, it's signed not by the Emotions, but it's signed by my first wife. So her signature is right there on the front of it, right? So these are just some of the objects that I have, paraphernalia that I have in the museum. And again, just moving on, last year, the last 2 years, and I ended it in December, but the last 2 years, I had what is called the DLD Motivational Moment. Tune into the DLD Motivational Moment. These were the four channels that that you could hear it on. And basically what the Motivational Moment is 60 seconds of motivation. And this is just one of them on the back. It's called Power Up. I did this for 2 years. And basically what it was geared towards is, you know, it was being played during drive time in the morning, drive time in the evening. So basically the objective here was to give people something that they can be pumped up about to help them be inspired before they go to work and after they come, you know, they come home to work. Because I know, I don't know about you all, but I know about being stuck in that 5 o'clock traffic. I've also had the opportunity right there in Baltimore to broadcast on the AM station. Now, David, we were talking earlier and you mentioned WLOB. Is that the AM station?
Yes, AM station too. No, it's 95. But you know, what you call that, Kathy Hughes station?
Yeah, Kathy Hughes station. Yeah, downtown, yeah. When it was downtown. I had the opportunity to be on the show with, I think his last name was Preston. And I'm sure you all are familiar with Donnie Glover.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was on air with him. And, you know, I had the opportunity to run into this guy here, David, while I was there in Baltimore. And, you know, we had the opportunity to do some great networking together. And I, just to let you all know, I'm going to let you know what I'm talking to the choir. This dude, David, he's one hell of a gentleman. I mean, he's straight up in business. You know, he goes the extra mile to, and he's committed. This is another brother that I know is committed to the cause of what he does. And I really appreciate him. And I'm glad that those 100 years ago when him and I was fighting them dinosaurs, I'm glad he was there with me, beating down them dinosaurs. So, I mean, what more can I say about, what I've done? I guess I can add in the recognition by, the presidents of the United States and blah, 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 blah. But what I do is really not about that. It's about who can I help next. My awakening prayer every day is who can I help next? God has really rolled out the red carpet. And it's true that, if you put all your pain and all your agony and let him fight the battles, and just do as he acts. I mean, look, we all in this thing called skin. So we all going to trip. We all going to fall and we're going to bump our heads. But long as we're able to get back up and dust ourselves off, get back in the race, like Sammy Davis Jr. says, and, continue to know that I got to be me. God put me here for a reason. And like Miles Monroe said, you can't hide from your gift.
Mm-hmm.
If you try to hide from your gift, it's going to come knocking. And if you don't do what you are supposed to do, your gift will kill you. So if you got that gift, use it to the premium, not to the max. Use it to the premium, and don't worry about what everybody else has to say. We all know about the haters. We know about the haterade. But I just say, hey, if you're going to drink anything, drink some Gatorade and keep that energy flowing. You feel me? And somebody will get on board with you. So that's my spiel, and I thank you very much, David. It's a pleasure to be on board with each one of you all.
Okay, fantastic, sir. And let me just say this, too. You mentioned a powerful name, Miles Monroe. I keep forgetting his name, but that's mm-hmm. one of my few people that I can listen to. I'm talking about spirituality-wise, because the brother is he's dead and gone there, but from his grave, he is still teaching. I mean, I get down that brother so heavy that, especially when it comes to gifting, your gifts. And so I appreciate that, but I'm glad you mentioned him because that's who I go to when I need spiritual strengthening sometimes. I'll go to YouTube, pull him right on up, and he got hundreds of them, of videos of him, teaching. So I encourage everybody on here. There's one thing I'm sending out to everybody, and it's about your gifts. And man, this thing is so powerful. But let me say this to you, Donald. I thank you for coming on the show this evening, but I also want to say something to you, because you mentioned those dinosaurs. And I'm not calling these people dinosaurs. You said that.
That was a metaphor. That was a metaphor.
Okay. Oh, got you. But in any case, a lot of people on this call right now, except for a few whippersnappers on here, but most people have been around the block once or twice, and they have experience. And you mentioned a few things, man. I want you to elaborate on it. And y'all can open up the line too if you want to ask brother some questions. But it's a thing about the journey. Now, you took us all the way from your earliest days up to now. And there's something, like you said, when you share your story, there's still three people never even realized about you. Now, you just shared some things with me that I heard you mention a few times, but I never heard it in the concession the way you put it. And in your early days, because like I said, you, like many of us, have made some bad decisions. And those decisions cost us greatly. Like in your case, almost cost you your life. And like I say, the choices that we make has consequences to them. And when I was speaking, when I'm going to speak about seasoned people, some of the seasoned people on here know that the journey is not easy. Everybody got their own cross to bear and had to bear it too. But yet here we are today, still standing tall, and we still in the battle. And that's what I love about the people with the National Black Unity News, because we got tried and true soldiers. I mean, literally soldiers too, but I'm talking about mentally and spiritual soldiers is on this call with us this evening. And so when you're coming on board, you're coming on board with some powerful, strong people. And as I told you earlier, iron sharpens iron. But I'm going to bring something up, because like I said, I didn't give you no subject, man. I just say speak about you. But, I'm going to bring this up to some current events. What's going on now? And what's going on? How the man on the news here in your neck of the woods? And as we know with this pandemic, we also know that marching is taking place locally, nationally. And we have people here in Baltimore, like I say, all over this country is on the front line protesting. And recently, I think the last couple of times I talked to you, you were on the front line too, out there protesting too, correct?
Yes, sir.
Why were you protesting and where?
Well, they had a Black Lives Matter march here in Tampa. Let's see, we're in August, so early part of July, I believe it was. And, I just felt the need to be there. I am, like I want to believe, as I see that many of you all are, we're children of the 60s, 70s. And to be honest with you, no, I was not at the March on Washington in 1963. Yes, I was at the March on Washington 50th anniversary. I was a grown man then. No. I was not, matter of fact, I didn't know about Malcolm X. I didn't know about Martin Luther King I didn't know about Malcolm X until after Dr. King was assassinated. So these are eras that I missed out. And as I grew older, the assassination of Dr. King, more or less as I was going through what I was going through, especially when I got to New York and this is the time of the Black Panthers, the militant force. Then I started learning about Malcolm X, more about Dr. King, Adam Clayton Powell, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I started varying, if you will, into that militant stage, that Black militant stage. So even to this day, I'm a strong believer in my Blackness. And I will say this, that before I answer your question, I will say this, when Roots came out, believe it or not, I had a little gathering at my house, and I think I was maybe 19, 20, 21 at that time, maybe 19 at the time. And at the time Roots was on, we were playing at the same time in sync Stevie Wonder's Songs in the Key of Life. And watching Roots, we sat there, my brothers, and at the time it was my wife and their ladies and whatnot, we sat there, and believe it or not, we could just feel the blackness within us rising to an ultimate peak. So much so that I mentioned to my brothers, it was on a Sunday, I said, tomorrow when I go to work, if those white folks say anything out of tune to me, y'all just come get me out of jail because I'm going to kill one. Well, it just so happened I went to work that next morning and my manager came in giving me lip. I cursed him out and I told him I would take him out back and break him down in pieces. And would you believe, after I told him that, he shot out. He went to the office. I hadn't seen him no more that week. Friday, I get pulled off in the office. When they pull me in the office, he says, Dowridge, and you know I'm scared, I'm shaking and whatnot because I'm thinking about ready to get fired from my job. He said, Dowridge, we're promoting you to manager. He said, I like your spunk. I like the way, I like you. I wish more people in here would be like you. But to any avail, you know, and then going through the military with my militant mind that I had, and it wasn't so much a racist mind. It was my mind thinking that we have a place in this society. We have fought to be, you know what I mean, to be treated right, and I was going to stand up. And I've even had people tell me, Donald, whatever, you know, you're a handsome man. You got a handsome smile. Why are you raising up so much ruckus? You know, the door is wide open for you. All you got to do is keep your mouth shut and just go with the plan, and you probably could be president. Well, for me, and knowing what I've been through, I wasn't looking for that. I was looking for us as black people to be treated like we should be treated. So anyway, moving up now to this situation where we at now, I felt it a must that I go out there and represent us as black folks and Black Lives Matter, because now, like they say, now is the time. If we don't take advantage of now, then you know what? All that protesting, all the Black Lives Matters on the That's basketball right. courts and the Black Lives Matters on billboards and Oprah, what she's doing with the Breonna Taylor's billboards and pushing Biden to pick a black woman as vice president, all this will be for nothing if we don't take a stand. And not just, you know, it's okay to go out and march because they're saying, oh, let them go ahead on and march. They ain't going to do nothing but tear up their old neighborhood and whatnot. Well, if we could elevate that from tearing us up to a point where we can spread our wings to where all of us are lifted and treated equally going forth, then the difference that need to be made will honestly truly be made, because we will be recognized as not number two citizens, but number one citizens. And even with this COVID situation, more of us are dying, more of us are sick from this COVID situation, more so than whites, Hispanics, Asians, and anybody else in this country.
It's true.
The question is, how do we resolve that so that the majors can look down on us, or should I say not look down on us, but look at us as people that need care, adequate care, in this type of environment? So that's why I went out and I marched. That's why I stood up, because of the fact that I want to be within that number. They always said, you know, you can sit on a porch all day and rock all day. You see what I'm saying? And watch the parade as it goes by. But until you get up off that porch, out of that rocking chair, and get in the race,
right?
Now you're standing for something. And understand, it's not about you as a person. When Barack Obama was elected president, And after his 8 years, the question is, oh, he ain't do nothing for me. It ain't about you. It's about we, the people.
That's right.
If I
Dave, you have to unmute him.
I'm trying.
He muted everybody.
Still nothing.
Somebody have to, can y'all hear me? You gotta tell that gentleman to unmute himself.
Donald, if you can hear me, unmute yourself.
So nobody heard what I said?
Not in the last couple of minutes.
Oh, it must have jumped on mute.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, what I was saying in closing is that, you know, that's why we as a people have to take this ball, and this is the time for us to run with this ball. This is the time for us to get truly score those touchdowns right now, because this window is only so wide. Who knows what will happen once we get past this election that's coming up. And it's very important that we all make sure our vote count. And I was just listening to the briefing today that they interrupted because they said somebody was shooting outside the White House. Well, this man here is demonizing the lesser of the two evils. This man here is demonizing the fact that, you know, if you mail in your ballot, it will not get to his destination. This man is demonizing, lying in reference to the Russia scandal. So, I mean, you got all these things that we have to put in a bubble, per se, and we have to analyze this as we sit under 90 days before them polls open. And it behooves everybody because, I mean, let me put it like this. I can't tell anybody what to do, but I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to put my vote in an envelope, and I'm going to take it to the post office that I was once employed at, and I'm going to make sure it get to that, or I might even go one step better. I might just take it right there to the voting location. And I see my sister, she nodding yes. I might just do that to make sure that my vote is counted. But everybody's not, you know what I mean? Everybody's not privy to do that, you know. And yes, we do know that there's going to be people online. And if you talk about like the six feet distance that everybody must have, you know, so I know patience is going to be weighing thin because those lines are going to be around the building. So, you know, it behooves for us to go ahead on and take this, because this is our moment. This is our moment. Our moment is not 2021. Our moment is the minute that this COVID started, the minute that these protests started, the minute that George Floyd, the minute that Breonna Taylor, those are our moments. And our moments are lasting until November the 3rd, and we need to start taking advantage of it.
Okay. Can everybody unmute themselves for a moment? Because I'm going to have a little conversation there. And you hit on some things, like I say, you know, we say we're going to talk about some current events. You just mentioned voting. Protesting, getting out there on the front lines. And Mr. Hector, can you unmute yourself as well, sir? And like I say, sometimes we take things for granted. And one of the things that we cannot afford to, because too many people have died, shed their blood, sweat, tears, is the right to vote, the right to cast our vote. You know, because change begins, you know, like I say, the power of one.
That's right.
If one person say, you know, well, let them do it, let someone else do it, then can you imagine a million saying the same thing? You know how I feel. I think, Fran, was that you that sent me something one time and said that when the voting, you know, how different count was in certain states, that if only a few of us that came out to vote, that man wouldn't even be in office right now. Can you remember? Go ahead, Fran. You want to speak on that?
So the piece that I sent you, David, was something that laid out in just pure numbers that, so let me just use an example because I can't remember exactly what the numbers were, but the piece said that in Baltimore, there were 400,000 registered voters, but only 20,000 voted. That's ridiculous. Black people, 400,000 black people registered, 20,000 vote. That's crazy. And it's like that all over our country. 500,000 people registered to vote in Los Angeles, 100,000 vote. 500,000, 500,000 people registered, only 100,000 vote. In New York City, there's 750,000 people registered to vote, but only 225,000 actually go vote. If we really could just get up and go, don't worry about whether you think your vote is going to count, because if you don't cast your vote, it doesn't count anyway. So don't worry about if you're going to be the winning vote. Just worry about if you're going to be a vote. Because collectively, we can do whatever we want to. Collectively. But, you know, they say, well, you know, it's not about the popular vote. It's about the Electoral College. Understand this. If we put the people in the local offices will drive the national offices. The most important elections for us is not who gets to be president. It's who gets to be governor, lieutenant governor, mayor, county executive, city council, the state delegations, the state senators. Those are the elections that are important to us because those are the people that touch the things that are going to either raise the quality of our life up or pull the quality of our life down.
That's
so,
it.
You know, I don't care. Look, I don't care who is president of the United States. I don't. Because that's not the guy that messes with my life on a day-to-day. The governor of Maryland sets the laws and such that govern whether there's toll booths or not. Do I have to, you know, boothless tolls, you drive through and they send it to you in the mail. I mean, really? It's crazy. It's just crazy. You can't even go get a license without being taxed. You can't even get an ID without being taxed. You can't get a loan without being taxed. There's all these things that happen behind closed doors because we put people in office who don't support us because we don't know anything about them. This is what my whole article for the next edition is all about. You got to read it, you guys. It's really a great article, not just because I wrote it, but it really speaks to give you some clarity around what level of government does what and why that level of government is important to you. To you as an individual, not to us as a city, not to us as a state, but as to us as people, you know? And until we begin to really reach out and educate ourselves about why it's important to know who the sitting judges are, it's important to know because they're putting your children in jail. That's why it's important to know. Don't wait till your kid's in jail to go find out who the judge is that put him in there. You got to vote for him. And you know what we do? We get on the ballot and we go, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, check. It's crazy because we have not taken the time to find out that this judge has a very large percentage of minority incarceration. Okay, what does that really say? That this judge puts black people and brown people in jail. That's the minority, ain't it? So if you have this judge that is very harsh and has no compassion, is that the guy that you want sitting on the bench looking at your kid who's got caught up in some nonsense that they weren't supposed to be caught up with in the first place? No. You want the one that can look at your child and still see promise and still see potential instead of seeing color. But if you don't do your homework and find out who is who, we're going to put those same people back in those same seats who are still sending our kids to jail and then making us pay extra taxes so we can build a bigger jail to put more children in. Come
That's
on,
right.
Now. You gotta, we
right.
have to stop and do some research, do some homework. Don't be listening to just anybody because they're going to tell you what they want you to know. That's clear. Listen to the administration. They tell you what they want you to know. They don't tell you all the stuff. They don't tell you all the details. They don't tell you all the facts, just enough to get you to think what they want you to think. But you can get past that if you go digging for the rest of the information
because
there is always more to the story. There's always more to the story. So if they're telling you, well, you know, Kanye West is a great guy, that don't mean he needs to be president of the United States. I don't want that child walking around with a football. I do not want that boy to have access to the nuclear, the red phone. Don't be picking up the red phone because you're mad at Kim and you're going to blow up something. That's crazy. But you know what? People say, well, Kanye will never become president. And they said the same thing about that fool that's in there. They said exactly the same thing. Oh, Donald Trump, and he's just doing this because he's trying to get some attention. He'll never win. Okay?
Well, yep.
Okay? And if we're not careful, we'll be looking at each other like, how in the heck did he get in there again? Because we didn't get up. Look, and I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to be through with it. We will go get a chicken box and an orange soda at 2 o'clock in the morning, but we won't get out of our bed and go vote for the one who can put a store right next to us, a market, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Something's wrong
That's
with that
right.
picture. Something's wrong with that picture. I love my people, but the chicken is not that important. You got to stop chasing that yard bird and go chase some justice.
All right.
I'm through. You said, okay. Yeah, you should have started with me.
Okay. Well, we got 3 minutes left, and you know what I normally do at the end of the day. I want to thank you, sir, for coming on board and sharing. And thank you for being one of the team members now. But, Mr. Hector.
Yeah.
Any comments? Yes, sir. Any comments or questions, sir?
I just want to first apologize to everybody. I had some technical issues. I'm still trying to get acquainted with the new thing that we're trying to do here and what we're, you know, moving forward with. But I was listening, and I, you know, just, boy, this is a lot of information that I know I missed. So to all the people on Facebook, Instagram, National Black Unity News, I apologize for my my issues going on the other side. But just to add to what has already been talked about, that, you know, it's just now is the time to for us to get educated, stop being blinded by things that are not going to benefit you or not going to make sense. We need some things now. We need some information. We understand that information is power. We need to educate ourselves. Don't rely on everybody else to educate you. You need to seek answers, you know, about what's going on. And that's how you make affirmative decisions. That's how you become responsible, because you're holding yourself accountable for the things that you've learned right now. And this is a great opportunity. 2020 is a great opportunity right now because people are waking up. They see that something's not right, you know, and people are asking questions, which is a good thing. But there are some people out there who are not asking questions. They don't seem to care. I was at a corner store, and you're right, Ms. Fran. Some people would rather go to the corner store at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and get those chickens and not really benefit from anything else that will help them, because it was around that time, and I was getting a chicken box at the time. I was working, and there were some young people out there outside Pennsylvania Avenue, Upton Avenue Market and all that, you know, and I just happened to ask him because he was standing on the corner. I said, you know, how you feel about what's going on? He said, it is what it is. That's his response. His response was, it is what it is. I said, okay, I understand that. So how do you feel about what's going on? He told me he don't really care. He don't really care. And that was shocking to me because I have family. We all have family. And, you know, we ought to be worrying about what's going on for tomorrow. I think we should. I mean, you know, I understand we shouldn't be fearful because fear is like a disease and it spreads and it stops us from doing things. But we ought to be curious enough to get information to see how we can play our part in society to make tomorrow a little more hopeful, you know, a little more pursuing and delightful. You know, we should not just sit back and not care about anything. And I was amazed at this young man's response. That lets me know that there are other people thinking like that. And, you know, and not everybody's thinking like that. But it just takes a more effort for people who are determined to make change possible. We really got to show people that, you know, this is not a game. We really got to do something. And we got to continue to spread knowledge, spread the understanding, and just hope that people will lighten, will open their eyes to knowledge and just take it in and do what they got to do with it.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And listen, we got, like I say, several minutes left, and I'm going to try to get everybody in. Those of y'all need to, if you want to share, you know, a comment or a question, this is the time to do so. And Brother Satavia, are you still on there?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
You have to unmute yourself, sir.
Can you hear me, David?
Okay.
Can you hear me, David?
How about you, Mr. Winston?
Oh, it's always a riveting conversation, Brother David.
Okay.
And I think that, you know, a lot of strong points, as always, are always being made. And I think that that is the number one reason why Black Unity News has to be in the forefront. Because a lot of our information is being, you know, willed to us, you know, through our social media. And it's not necessarily, it's not necessarily news. And so sometimes a lot of oppositional information is coming through okay. various aspects of politics. You know, as far as
right.
you know, the Russians or the Chinese or whoever. So now you have all these other factions entering your social media, and they're the and now you don't know what is true and what is not. And as Mr. Hector pointed out, that some people, you know, they get you know, they grow tired because that is a part of the problem. Oh, well, not
right.
the problem, but that is the point that they're making. They'll saturate your media sources with nonsense, and so you get an apathy. And so, therefore, people are not paying attention anymore. They don't know, you know.
Right.
And a lot of times they do that just because it's survival, you know. A lot of times, you know, we are making it from day to day, and we don't have time, you know, to focus our attention on the next white guy, you know. The next real clean-looking Black guy, the next real clean-looking Black woman. We don't have, you know, and they're not talking about our issues when we're seeing Black folks being mowed down in the street. No one talks about the issues that are concerning us, talking about, you know, drugs in the community. Like, that's a hot topic. Every time that you mention Black folks, you want to talk about crime and violence, you know.
You go to comment?
Yeah. And all of these other kind of things that, you know, we score very high in every category that is, you know, that is not conducive to healthy living, you know. But anything that's really talking preservation of life, nah, that's not included in the conversations of our nice clean politicians. So, you know, a lot of times people just, you know, they're not talking to me. They're talking to those people who are concerned. You know, so I understand, you know, we had problems here with dirt bikes years and years ago, you know, and the politicians, you know, they get elected, they come and they go, you know, so many, it's 200 this year, 300 this year, murders, you know, but the problem still exists. You know, they leave office, they don't believe they have blood on their hands. I think that they do. But then no one talks about that. No one talks about, well, how many people were killed under your administration, and what do you have to say about that? And how do you, how do you manage, and what do you say to the people? And so therefore, when there's no compensation, there's no reparations.
Right, that's true.
And the people are still left hurt and distrustful. And yet you say, well, go back out and vote. Really? That's like telling people on the street, well, your boy got shot by this guy, but you put down your gun and everything going to be all right. Well, that doesn't work so well in the street. So at some point you have to realize there has to be some mediation. There has to be something in between. You just can't go back doing the same thing we were doing, because you keep doing the same thing that you're doing, you're going to keep on getting the same result. So we know that.
That's
so,
right, sir.
So yeah. I don't think that the people, are finding it. I think their politics are right on point. I think that it's just that they haven't heard the right tone yet. They haven't heard the right words yet. Now they're listening, but they are not going backward. They're not going to go back to what we used to do. And that's what, and they made that point very clearly with the protests with, Black Lives Matter. So I think that at this point we have to figure out, is it in our own interest to figure out what's going to be, and whether we should be voting or what should we be doing? If it is in our own interest, because again, North Avenue, and I'm 53, and I don't believe that there's too many buildings that I ever remember being erected on North Avenue.
All right, sir. But look, Mr. Winston, I appreciate your input, but we're running out of time.
Okay,
and,
all right.
And I'm trying to get to everybody because we have
all right.
All right.
David,
I appreciate your input. And Winston was a previous editor of ours as well. Hopefully, he's on thinking about coming back on board. So thank you, sir. Okay, so Satavi, are you still there?
Yep, I'm here. Can you hear me? I'm here. Can you hear me?
Brother Satavi.
Yes, sir, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay.
I'm here, David. Can you hear me?
Anybody else before we close out?
Satavi, he has to unmute himself.
Yeah, he's...
I did.
He's there.
Yeah, I see him speaking.
Real quick, David, can I get in real quick?
Yes, sir.
Hello, everyone. This is Dempsey Murphy from the National Black Unity News. I am the managing director, and I just wanted to make one statement about this whole conversation with this afternoon, which was powerful. A lot have been said, and I appreciate the brother from Florida. He brought back a lot of memories, and I'm one of them old folks who remember all of that stuff. And so, anyway, but what I wanted to share with you guys is this. One of the most important things that we need to do is to have an informed electorate. Our people need to know who, what, when, where, how, and mostly why they do and what they're supposed to be doing as far as the voting aspect and their government is concerned. And I just want to throw it out there, ladies and gentlemen, because if we inform these folks well enough, they'll be engaged, they'll be impacted, and they'll be emotionally attached. That's all I wanted to say, and back to you, David.
All right, thank you, sir.
I just had a question. What was some of the things that he just said, Mr. Murphy? Can you repeat that? That was some good stuff.
No, I would just say that we just basically need an informed electorate. That's what we need. We need the people who understand pretty much, about our government. And not necessarily every little aspect, because government is very local. Our government, one of the most important elections in our country, every time that this comes up, it's not the president or the governor or the mayor. No, it's the sheriff. Back to you.
Okay.
Hey, Dave, you need to unmute Satavi.
I can't do it on my end for some reason.
Can you hear me now, Dave?
The host would like you to unmute your microphone. You can press *6 to unmute.
You have to unmute yourself because...
Can you hear me, David?
Because I can't see how to do it from my end. And there's several of you on there, Kathleen, Donetta, Vernon. Y'all still mute. You have to unmute yourself if you want to say something.
Hello?
Yes.
You are unmuted.
Vernon.
How you doing? I'm Vernon Streeter, the National events coordinator. I like what Mr. Dempsey was saying. We have to change our culture as far as, you know, getting too comfortable. I think over time, we kind of like fell asleep with some of the things that's been happening in the media. But some people who are banking on us being like that, you know, they say, well, they're not going to pay attention to what we're going to do. They're not going to show up. You know, they're not going to fight against us. And we fell asleep as a community. And that comes along with accepting the culture that's been spoon to us. We need not to accept the culture that's spoon to us, but create our own culture.
Yeah.
We're creating, but some kind of way we got away from it. I think when they made the video, We Are the World, the Kumbaya stuff, you know, let's all get along, and they gracefully rocked us to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
From the militant days.
Mm-hmm.
And they said we're gonna sneakily take this culture from them,
mm-hmm.
and we can take over.
That's something.
Yeah.
I like what you say, Mr. Vernon.
Okay, Brother Satav.
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead, Brother Satav.
Can everybody?
Yes, sir.
All right. Yeah. I really appreciate it. Our guest out of Florida had to say and how he shared information. And yeah, I go way back to, I remember we had 33s, 45s, I even remember 78s. He had a lot of stuff that he shared and how, you know, he told his grandmother, you know, something and he ended up in the hospital and all of that. I want to give kudos to Master P, who did a song for Breonna Taylor. And if you go to YouTube and you put in Master P and Breonna Taylor, and he had a video and a song that he put out, you know, because he said, you know, we need to keep her name alive because, again, the people that murdered her, the one up in her house and killed her, they mm-hmm. haven't even been charged. And
yep.
so, you know, that's real, you know what I mean? And that needs to be dealt with because how many more Breonna Taylor are they going to be? But, you know, it was very powerful of him putting out a piece about her. And he has a docuseries that he did on BET, Master P. He talks about his journey and how his biggest thing, and he realized that once he was no longer going to be a rapper, that he had to start being able to manufacture products. And so, you know, he says, because products don't talk back to you. But, you know, people that have these different people that's involved in their musical careers and stuff that they're dealing with, that, you know, that they some people, they, you know, they can get mad, they talk back to you, and they do all kind of other stuff. He says, but if you have a product, then the product's not going to talk back to you. So all of us need to be looking at how we can have more products on the market so that we can capture some of this $1 trillion that is generated throughout our communities so that we can build those institutions that can transform our society so that we can build institutions that are make the brother on the corner understand that voting is important. You know, we need to be able to do voter education clinics like we used to do with the NAACP where, you know, we used to make sure when I was in the NAACP, we used to make sure that we did voter education forums to inform people about why voting was important, because there are a lot of people that do not believe that voting is important, and I used to be one of them. So, you know, it's just so, so important. There's so many issues out there that need to be dealt with, but especially this whole police defunding thing and all of that is that basically the biggest thing around the defunding thing of the police is that they do not need to have militarized weapons. You know, it's not that we don't want to have no police, you know, because, you know, hey, something happened to you at 2 o'clock in the morning, who you going to call? You know,
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, you know, we laughing, but I'm just saying, you know, for those people that have situations where, you know, something's going on, and then when they come, you want them to be, you know, you could have a family member that ain't had their meds. You don't want them to come and kill him. You just need to be, for him to be able to be put in order. So a lot of times it's like up in Newark. The mayor, Ross Baraka, who's Amir Baraka's son, and Amir Baraka was the one that gave him the name Sitawi. He has a thing where when the police come out and they're dealing with an issue, that they need to bring a social worker with them. So that way, if it's something that's going on that's dealing with a mental problem or whatever, the social worker can hopefully de-escalate the situation. This should never come down to where you have someone that has a mental that's mentally challenged getting killed. And that's just happened several times. So, you know, but those are my comments for the night. And, you know, I had, Henri, what you need to do probably is what I had to do is you need to probably dial in so that you can be able to simulcast what you're doing on Facebook. I had to dial in to simulcast this on Blog Talk because I couldn't do it from the Zoom video platform. So, you know, I don't know if that'll help you or whatever, but I'm just saying, you know, in terms of future shows, dial in because there's David has the dial in numbers in the text that he has sent out, and that's how I was able to get on. And then when you get muted, you have to hit *6 and unmute yourself if you want to be able to participate in the conversation. So those are a couple
of technical issues
that you know that. For those that have to dial in or whatever you're doing, because if you don't know how to use this technology, you know, you can be fumbling and bumbling and you're
That's
trying
right.
to do something and you know it just don't seem to be working.
Hey, so Ty, wait, I asked you to make a comment, not to tell on me, okay?
Okay. All right.
Well, David,
somebody got thrown under the bus.
I would like to say something, David.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. Yeah, save me.
Welcome to Mr. Donald. We're happy to have you with us, and we look forward to working with you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you.
Enjoyed your comments. Vernon, again, I enjoy what you had to say about how we sometimes accept that culture. And last week I talked about that briefly when I said that we've become complacent.
Mm-hmm.
We've accepted certain things. We've gotten comfortable. Things are easy for us, certain ones of us now. We're not fighting the way we used to fight. We need to get out of that comfort zone and move forward. Just like we say in church, how many souls have you brought to Christ? The question now, how many souls are we bringing to the fold? We can't assume that person that's next to you or walking down the street has registered. And even if that person, like Fran said, has registered, do they really understand what's going on? We assume a lot that our people understand, but I'm here to tell you, a lot of times they don't have a clue what's going on. Right here in our town a couple of years ago, we had a mayor that... she was okay. She wasn't outstanding. She was okay. But a lot of people didn't like her because they thought it was her fault that we were having trouble with the water bill. And they couldn't get past that. She really had nothing to, as this example I'm using, she really had nothing to do with that water bill problem that we had. It was an equipment problem. But they blamed her for that. It's just a matter of not understanding the function of those in office, who does what, even when you have a problem, where to go, how to resolve that. So I was just going to say, let's not assume that our little friends that we have, you know, one-on-one, all it takes is bringing one, that one can bring another one, especially with this virus. We're not getting out in big groups right now. We have to attack those one-on-ones and see who we're going to bring to the poll. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, I know Bill has a problem with, you know, because he said he couldn't hear through the whole thing, but he's still sticking in there. Bill, if you can hear me, shake your head. Nope. So he's just watching us. Well, he's a trooper.
Yeah,
he's
still
yeah, but
can you guys hear me?
Who's that?
This is Hector. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Yes, sir.
Henri.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I'm getting people that they're saying they can't hear. I don't know what's going on.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I got to look into this further. But
yeah,
you know, technical issues, they come. This is part of the job.
Yeah, but Bill, like I said, everybody else can hear and see us, except for him. He can see us, but he can't hear us. And I'm gonna speak for him. Now Bill is out there. He's still protesting. And he's on the front line. He goes out there pretty much every day he's in town. And in that hot sun at his age, he's just as old as I am. But he's making a difference. And, you know, so each one of us had to do our own thing in our own way. But, you know, we all are significant. And based on out of your own mouths, because everybody on here is one way or another is involved with the National Black Unity News. That is the voice. And if each one of us raise our voice, when I say in the words, I mean by raising, sharing our voice, get it out there. Because like I said, Mr. Murphy got a powerful article in there about voting. Fran got an upcoming thing about voting. And a lot of it, there's a lot of information there that can, you know, like my brother said, hit the lane to the game. I'm not calling this lane, but you know, what I'm saying is this. No, but seriously, because there's a lot of people, like you say, are in the dark. And don't really know why. And y'all address those issues. Y'all address it. You know, we have to teach them. If nobody else wants to step up, that's why my brother Don out there protesting and doing the things he's doing. Because he say somebody has to do something. And since we do have a format, such as this format, such as the National Black Unity News, such as a lot of other things that we involved with, how we all can work with one another. Because we got each one of them has a voice. But when we have that collective voice, it's a powerful, powerful tool. Especially when we have a format that can reach people all across this country, all across the world, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, each one of us has to do our part. You know, it's good to come on here, but, you know, we had these social media that can reach a month. I was sharing with Don early today. You know, I was telling them how I used to put the paper together. I used to type it up, put it on these old boards. I had the old lights table, and you had to. So I had to draw a box to make a square and all of that kind of, and then drive 60 miles down the road, take it to the printer, come back, get my boards, and get the paper, come back home. Man, you know, that was a lot of driving, a lot of work, a lot of stuff putting on board. But man, the technology, all I could just sit at a computer. And then I said, and then when the papers came back, I had to distribute them. But now I can sit here and distribute all over the world, just from my fingertips. I don't have to leave my comfort of my home and just hit a button that's at the printer. A couple of days later, the paper's in front of my door. So technology is a powerful tool if we use it properly. Like I say right now, I'm going to give y'all a tip. Your article, you ain't got to share the whole paper if you don't want to do it that way. You can just take your article and put it on social network. You can take your article and put it in special groups. Because like I say, if you do things wisely, I'm just going to share it with you. Join some of these groups that have your self-interest in it. Now, I join black business groups. That's my thing because that's what I deal with. And right now, I can sit at the computer, spend 10 minutes on and reach 5 million people just from the groups alone. And that's just Facebook. What about LinkedIn and Instagrams and all of that kind of stuff? You know, and your articles, because you took your blood, sweat, and tears and wrote these articles. You put a lot of thought into them. When you write, you have to put thought into them. And can you imagine your words? And the Bible says your words gonna come back void. And when you send your word out there, the multitude of people, you are ahead of stuff that I get back from people. Because I tell you this all the time. Your words can prevent somebody from getting killed. Your words can actually save people's lives. That's saying the same thing in a different kind of way, but your words can actually save people's lives. Your words can enhance people's quality of life. Your words and your experiences. And Kathleen Murphy, she writes to the youth. And our young people, because they need inspiration in this day and time. Like I say, they're home, they're on the computers, take advantage of it. And like I say, I thank each and every one of you for being on the podcast. And Donnette, are you still with us?
Yeah.
Donetta?
Yes, I'm here.
Before we go, I missed your name here because I'm going up and down. Would you like to share any parting words?
I basically want to thank everyone for sharing, and the information was really powerful. The only thing I really, my focus and passion is sleep, health, wellness, and fitness. And so I just believe that that's something we all need to focus on so we have the energy and we can continue to be productive to do what we are born to do.
Okay, thank you. And by the way, tomorrow night, our host, Fran Allen, will have a podcast tomorrow evening at 7:30. And we're going to have some people on here that are special. As a matter of fact, Fran is going to be a guest tomorrow. Herself. And so was Donald Dowrich will be, I guess he's an author, Bill Gooden, and Donetta Moore, who you just heard from. And then we have, I think, Dr. Pender, he may chime in. And then we have a couple more authors, Lee Jordan McKenzie, and a few others, that's coming up, and they're going to share information about their books. Because I was just mentioning words come in many forms. But one of the most powerful words is in the books. And you're talking about, we put the article together, it's powerful. Can you imagine what a book could do? So, you can really educate a person. I don't care what the subject matter may be, it can be just, but anyway, it's a powerful, powerful thing. So tune in tomorrow at 7:30. Because right now, while a lot of us are home, you need to turn them televisions off and pick up a book. Read those books, man. I mean, because like I say, that's one of the richest places on earth is the library. You can go in there, it's wealth in there. Just like I say, but like, I do know this, that in closing, we dealing with words in different forms. Like I say, we speaking words right now. The newspaper is another form of communication. Your books is another form of communication. And you are, no matter whether you believe it or not, you're always selling. So you are a powerful source, because all these things won't be without you. And so again, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate you, everyone. And the brother Donald, again, sir, I thank you so much, man, because you're a real, real trooper, man. And you keep your head up, because you earned your stripes, sir, just like everybody on here. And that's why we say on, sharp, and gone, because everybody on here earned their own stripes. And I appreciate you, every one of you. And I know our listening audience appreciates you, and I know for a fact that our readers love you and appreciate you. With that being said, good night, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. See you tomorrow night.
Night, everyone. Yes.
Good night.
Pleasure meeting everyone. Everybody. God bless you. Stay safe.
All right. All right,
Brother Dave.
Thank you, sir.
Good night, my friend.
Good night.
My book buddies.
Good night, John Boy. I just had
dabba dabba do.
All right.
We do.
Y'all really telling your age now. Okay. That's before my time.
Goodbye.
Okay. The podcast has technically finished, but I always add something on to the show, and so we're now add on theme song from Home Base Business 101 called It's My Time, and it is our time in terms of the people, and we need to move forward in our time. That's calling me.
Behind the right of the lock. Is it a lockup place?
Yeah.
You see it from lockup?